There is this question that begins the majority of our staff team gatherings. Anyone who knows me at this point knows I do not like to work the word meetings because people turn like upside down and do flips when you say, let's meet together. So we gather in our staff team meetings. This question in many cases leads to dialogue, conversation and laughter, and an insight between the brothers and the sisters who momentarily gather together at our table. After beginning our first John series focused on the statement, "This is how we know," we find ourselves invited into the remainder of this epistle. You thought I was going to leave us right there, didn't you? We will finish 1 John together. The remainder of this letter guides us into what it means to live deeply in Christ. This idea of living deeply in Christ includes this staff team question that I ask week after week. Where have you seen God? The caveat in the question is based upon the week that has already passed in order to guide us in paying attention to the future. So I ask you this morning, beautiful people, where have you seen God? Where have you seen God? You know, a question of this magnitude may seem simple enough to slow us down and consider thinking back through a week which may have been filled with turmoil, tests and diagnoses, heartbreak and fear, the harboring of pain and anger, hurt and confusion, frustration and loneliness. To ask this question is inviting us to witness the movement, encouragement, the faith, the hope, and the love from God in your life. God's love is manifest in so many ways through creation, birds singing, flowers blooming, rain cooling and nurturing the earth, grandchildren, children, family, the bridge opening up to Pensacola Beach, traffic being a little bit lighter because the bridge opened up to Pensacola Beach. I do hear you chuckling, but seriously, these are not unusual responses to this question. These are easy, low-hanging fruit responses, right? Sometimes we may not think deep enough. So hold on to the question and think very deeply. In the past week, and not what you may have heard from others, where have you, and you, and you seen God? Today's text message piggybacks our This Is How We Know series, and it challenges us to live deeply in Christ through the inspired practice, movement, and nature of God's love. I have to admit, over the years, I have read and studied and reread this passage many, many times. But this time around, it was like I was waking up and seeing and hearing for the first time John's bold, uncompromising, unsentimental attitude and direction as to how the church, since he is writing to the congregation, is to respond to the consistent and continuous demand for a love attributed to Jesus Christ. A love attributed to the movement of the Holy Spirit and attributed to God's divine grace, which knows no limit. How, as the church, are we to respond to this divine love? This is where you're going to be like, what? What is she talking about? What is this preacher talking about? We do not respond to God's divine love because this love is already in us, moving us from being reactive to proactive. See, we are the effects of God's divine love and not the cause. At the heart of this epistle is John addressing some Christians who thought Jesus as less than God and to remind them of his divinity. John is also writing for the sake of others who thought of Jesus as less than a man. He wanted to assure them, this congregation, of the humanity of Jesus Christ. So John is writing this letter to balance the understanding of the person of Jesus, that he is both man and, in some sense, easier for us to understand, one with God. So here we are in this text, this friction, and John's unadulterated boldness in proclaiming this mutual love between God and the church. A love that is confident and forgives without keeping score. A love that once again forgives over and over again. A love that is healing and available. A love that is missional and generous. See, we are witnesses to a text that gives us insight to God as the source of love, God as the inspiration of love, and God as the practice of love. And finally, God's command of love. Evident in this text is this Old Testament understanding that God is living, God is personal, and God is active. We have talked about how John is concerned with love in action rather than with love in its abstract form. In verse 16, the scripture says, "We have known and have believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them." It is likely John is moving beyond the attitude of love or being loving, even beyond this notion of love in action, into the practice of love. Bold, uncompromising, unsentimental. His attitude is challenging us today. I don't know if you've ever been around anyone or a group of people learning to play an instrument. I had a little one learning to play the violin in first grade, and it sounded like mice all over my house. I remember hearing and also reciting at times the phrase, "Practice makes perfect." Have you heard that? Practice makes perfect. And then one day, one of her music teachers said, "Perfect practice makes perfect." If you're practicing incorrectly, your practice will never be perfect. John, in this ancient letter, is guiding us to correct our imperfect practice. See, this practice of love as the church means going to where God's people are by listening and being present without wanting or expecting anything in return. This practice of love as the church means gathering together to worship God and to celebrate God. The practice of love in the church is restoring and healing community relationships. The practice of love as the church is to stop looking inward, downward, and allow God to lift our heads to look out and beyond. Verse 17 says, "This is how love has been perfected in us, so that we can have confidence on the judgment day, because we are exactly the same as God is in this world." Have you heard that before? I'm going to read that, verse 17, one more time. "This is how love has been perfected in us, so that we can have confidence on the judgment day, because we are exactly the same as God is in this world." I wanted to cry when I read that again. Standing before you, we are exactly the same because God is in us. 18 goes on to say, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." I pray this is encouragement to some of you who are sitting here who are filled with fear about what's to come, what's next. When God is saying, "I am with you, and my perfect love will drive out fear." The person, the scripture continues, who is afraid has not been made perfect in love. We love because God first loved us. We are in this practice of love as the church, driving out fear inside and outside of these walls. God is the source of love. God is the inspiration of love. And according to this passage, God's love has already been perfected in us, so that we have present, hear me, beautiful people, present and future confidence in our love to each other, for each other, and in the world through God. I want to go back to 1 John 2 for just a moment. That passage tells us to remain in Jesus, to remain in the light, to remain in obedient relationship. See, the practice of love is this progression, like learning a sport or learning to play an instrument, this progression of heart, this progression of thought, this progression of experiencing and being able to answer, "Where have you seen God?" This progression of faith, this progression of hope, this progression of love that is a consistent and continuous directive attributed to Jesus Christ. It is a progression, people of God. We are to look up and out and not down at one another. This progression moves us from "you didn't do this, Pastor Sheila and staff," to "how can we help?" To "what can we do?" To "where and how will we practice love as God's church. Saints, God's love is perfected in us. And we are being called to be confident in that perfection through the movement of the Holy Spirit as a congregation. God is the source and inspiration of love, but the practice of love comes through our faith and confidence that as God's children, we move toward perfection. We vocally share where we have seen God with others. We live in confidence to be like God. And that likeness, that mirrors, that reflection is shown most clearly in love for others. And so as we practice our love for one another, our love for the world, because God lives in us and God's love is perfected in us, I say this over and over, all will see and come to know who Jesus is. Beautiful people, upon every child of God is the effect of salvation, this new birth in Christ. Upon every child of God is this obligation to love. Upon every child of God is this effect of the cross, this redemption, this forgiveness, this love. John makes absolutely clear, God does not lead us to an abstract quality of love, because God is living and active and the source of all love. So where have you seen God's love? Where have you seen God's love? So I'm going to do something in this moment. And it's a risk, but I believe it's a risk worth taking. I've put out that question, and I want to invite one or two people to come and to share, where have you seen God's love? Where have you seen God's I could tell stories all day long. And I'm willing to do it. Tell everyone your name, Linda.
Yes. My name is Linda Baker. And I see God's love all over this whole church. But I see in every single human being right here. No matter what happens, no matter where they go, you see love every single day, Reverend Bates. One just walking or doing things, and everybody in this whole church. A while ago, I almost had a seizure. And a lady who goes to Maine very well has seen me a long, long time. Betty does, Richard does, and a whole lot of people just came up to me. I almost kicking somebody. She came over there and she said, "Can I do for you?" And I couldn't talk a while ago. That's one form of love.
Yes.
And he has even things like that, water bites. That's how I see it that way.
Thank you, Linda.
Yes, ma'am. You're very welcome.
Thank you. Where have you seen God's love? Just one more.
I'm Dusty Fisher. Like Linda, I had the opportunity to see God in the people who are out here today. And in the midst of the pandemic, what did we do? We reached out to our community and went out in the community. And the community came here to deliver food and provide food directly during a time when everybody was just, you know, afraid to be with each other. But the Lord came to this church and we stepped up and met a need in the community this past year.
Amen. I want to end our time together before communion, and as the worship band begins to make their way up, with a reimagination of 1 Corinthians 13 by a South African missionary. The missionary writes, "If I have the language perfectly and speak like a native and have not his love, I am nothing. If I have diplomas and degrees and know all the up-to-date methods and have not his touch of understanding love, I am nothing. If I am able to argue successfully against the religions of the people and make fools of them and not have God's wooing note of love, I am nothing. If I have all the faiths and great ideals and magnificent plans and not his love that sweats and bleeds and weeps and prays and pleads, I am nothing. If I give my clothes and money to them and have not love for them, I am nothing. If I surrender all prospects, leave home and friends and make the sacrifices of a missionary career and then turn sour and selfish, you could say missionary, you could say layperson, you can say pastor, and then turn sour and selfish amid the daily annoyances and slights of the missionary life, then I am nothing. If I can heal all manner of sickness and disease, but wound hearts and hurt feelings for want of God's love that is kind, I am nothing. If I can write articles and publish books that win applause but fail to transcribe the word of the cross into the language of his love, I am nothing." Saints, on this Communion Sunday, before this table of grace, as an imperfect people made perfect in God, hearing, believing, trusting, and witnessing that we are called to God's inspired practice of love, this movement, this nature of God, where we see someone in need and we say, how may I help you? We don't do that. We are nothing. When we see a community in need, and we don't feed them, clothe them, or be present with them, we are nothing. You may not have stepped up to the mic on today, but I want you to keep in the back of your mind to encourage you for the days to come, where you have seen the love of God.